The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "It is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. And then he went away. To each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents went and made 2 more talents. But the one who had the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and buried his master's money. Then, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Good and well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Good and trustworthy slave, you have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one with the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have had invested my money with the bankers. And upon my return, I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent away from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Good morning, children. I'm going to move here just in front of the pulpit and get a chance to talk with you and see you this morning. Just have a quick question for you. How many, you can raise your hands, how many of you play sports or have a coach for a sport that you might play? Do you guys play any sports? Yes, 2, a couple of you? All right. How many of you have had very good teachers that you like and you follow what they say so you can learn more and more, right? You guys have good teachers? Yes. All right. So I remember my first bowling coach. I tried lots of sports. Baseball wasn't the thing. Soccer, I got way too sweaty. But bowling, I really, really liked. So I remember my coach always telling me to take four steps up to the foul line. That was a line you couldn't cross when you got to the front of the alley. And always keep my shoulders parallel, the same direction as that foul line. And when I released the ball, I needed to watch the spot that I was looking at on the alley and also come up with my thumb just straight up like I was shaking somebody's hand. I remember those things, and I still do to this day when I go out and bowl. And it helped me a lot because the first year I was on a bowling league, and I was 8 years old, maybe nine. It was 78, so I would have been 9 years old. I won the state championship. I peaked right there. But it was those instructions that I listened to, like you do when you have a coach or you have a good teacher. You always got to remember, you got this. You have been told over and over what to do. And when you do those things, then you can get successful in those things. You can do very well in those things. That's why every week at church, we come in and we say our prayers, we sing our songs, but we also get to participate in this wonderful gift of communion. Because God, Jesus, told us to remember him and do this. And when we do this, we remember the grace and the love that God wants us to feel from within so that we can share it on the outside. As we remember that, you got this. You have this body of Christ, this meal within us, to share it with others, to love others, and be successful in all that we do. All right, let us pray. Good and gracious God, you are awesome and we love you. Thank you for giving us your Son. Thank you for always helping us to be prepared and remembering that you love us so that we can love others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ to you this windy, fine day. Joy and weeping are two reactions we hear in this concerning gospel lesson today. We hear, enter into the joy of the Master. And at the end, we hear where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It reminds me a lot of my high school mathematics career. Joy and weeping. When I was in high school, I enjoyed math and science. I was good at them for the most part, and they came easier than other subjects. And for the most part, I liked my teachers. One particular teacher, Mr. Philip Habegger. I learned to like him the most. Mr. Habegger was the type of teacher that you either really liked or really disliked because he was demanding. Some of the students, you know, from my perspective, took this the wrong way. Everybody used to call him Daddy Hobbs. He was sometimes called that, but he would get on you for not studying enough, for not being prepared. And you had to watch out, because if you ever fell asleep in his class, he was the school baseball coach. He had an arm. If he saw you drifting off, he would stop his lecture, shush the whole class, and fire an eraser right at you, leaving you with the ghostly outline of the eraser on your shoulder as you woke up in this cloudy, chalky dust. He would also preach in his classes about permanent retention. He used to say, Schrader, or whoever he was talking to, do not come to school with a hole in your bucket. Everything you learn, you must keep in your bucket. The goal for his class was to remember the rules of algebra so you could move up and feel prepared going into algebra 3, 4, or trigonometry. His goal for life was to remember what you have learned and not forget it, because you would eventually need it to be successful. As he walked around the classroom and handed out the grades, or graded tests, that's where I remember feeling the joy or weeping. Anything above a C, I was joyful. Anything lower, then we were weeping, because we would have to correct all the items and hand them in the next day. And I guess that's why many of my friends were scared to get Mr. Habegger, He made you work. You had homework every night. You either trusted him because he was so demanding, or you were scared of him because he was so demanding. Mr. Heiberger was a demanding teacher, but he was always in the classroom before and after school, other than baseball season, offering to help if you ever had questions. He never graded on a curve, but he would allow you to retake the test and get maybe a few bonus points at the end of the semester. If you didn't understand where Mr. Heiberger was coming from, life in his algebra class was going to be difficult. Weeping and gnashing of teeth, one might say. Daddy Hobbs wanted you to succeed in his algebra class and in life. Whatever you did, he expected permanent retention of that information given. To appreciate this gospel, we must understand who God is and what Jesus has done for us. A recap of the story, a man goes on a journey and entrusts his property to his slaves. He entrusts, this word trust is throughout this passage, his money, his livelihood, his life basically, to those around him. These talents are incredible gifts of grace. I mean, one talent was worth 10 to 15 years worth of wages. And we even get our modern day definition of talents from this word. As you use your talents in this world, you can earn money to pay, to live, and take care of God's creation and those around you. So the master trusts his talents to others. He gives them away. Jesus trusts his disciples and gives them abundant love and grace. And the master is gone for a long time. So not only does the master give them amazing, abundant gifts, but also an abundant amount of time to work with them. The first two slaves trust their master, and they understood what they were to do with these lavish gifts. They trade and they use the talents to double them, to increase them by sharing them. When the master returns, he says, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And as we use the gifts and talents from God, we are invited into the joy of God. Now, what about the third slave who buried his talent? He doesn't understand God and what God has done. He says so. Look, he says, "Master, I knew that you are a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid. And I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." This slave doesn't understand God. He doesn't understand who God is. We are told that God is a God slow to anger and abundant in steadfast love. Our joy or weeping are tied to how we trust or fear God. The third slave fears God, fears the master, because he does not trust him. That is exactly why I love Lutheran theology. We are saved by grace through faith, permanent retention of God's love. We are saved not by what we have done, but by what God has done and continues to do. We do not have to fear God when we mess up or when we make mistakes, because that happens. There is no fear of God for our sin. God sees our sin and still says, "As we are sinners, I love you. You are worthy of my love. I am willing to die for you, even die on a cross." Therefore, we do not need to fear God. Rather, trust in God's love and in sharing God's love with others. And as we do so, we confirm that trust. So you might be wondering, so what about the judgment, the harshness that this third slave felt, labeled wicked and lazy, worthless, thrown out into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth? I see what you're saying. God's judgment is real, and our actions have consequences. But to take these words literally is missing the whole point. Jesus is setting up this parable with hyperbole, on top of hyperbole. One talent is worth 10 to 15 years of wages for a laborer. What master in that time would give 100 years of wages to workers and then go on a long trip? That was an incomprehensible amount of money to those hearing the story back then. Later, the master says, "For all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away." Once again, hyperbole. For those who have nothing, even what you have will be taken away. How do you take something away from a person who has nothing? It's hyperbole. We must have permanent retention and remember God, or what we have to remember what God has done and what God continues to do. It was just a couple weeks ago we heard that Jesus sat down with his disciples and told them, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven." The point of this beautiful parable is not to fear God, but is to trust that God, what God has given us, this great abundant amount of grace and time and gifts to share with each other and to share with our church family. And as we do, as we share God's grace and gifts, we are fulfilling our baptismal call into worship and into discipleship. Do not come into life with a hole in your bucket of faith. Do not fear what God is asking you to do. Rather, trust in God that you have the love and the reconciliation of our Creator already written in our hearts so that we can take it into the world. Trust in God that God has given us all we need and then some to go into this hurting world to proclaim the good news. In our reading, our second reading this morning, we hear from 1 Thessalonians, "You got this. Remember what Jesus told you. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you. You got this. For you know yourselves very well the day that the Lord will come like a thief in the night. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. And so whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. We are not destined for wrath, but for salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, whether we are awake or asleep, that we might live with him." As Professor Mike Skinner of Luther Seminary writes, "We are living in deep political divisions, driving people apart, a deadly pandemic stalking the planet, cruelty becoming tolerable, cries for equity being ignored, isolation and disconnection wreaking psychological damage, economic hardship spreading, and lies masquerading as truth. At this time, more than ever, do not be afraid." Jesus says, "Do not be afraid," to his disciples at least 8 times in the Gospels. Our job as disciples is now to encourage one another and to build up each other. That is the message we are to take into this fearful, hurting world. No more hiding our gifts and grace given by our Creator. Let your light so shine before others so that they may see your good works and live and give glory to your Father in heaven. Concerning these times and seasons, the time for hiding who we are and the gifts that we are given is finished. We are in the time that our Master has gone away. Let us love each other. Let us use our gifts to encourage one another and build each other up. As you see any other child of God, see them in that light. Tell them not to hide anymore. What they are, who they are, is a gift from God to be used to encourage and build up one another. This is the hyperbole we need to live by. Don't live your life with a hole in your faith bucket. Amen.